Welcome to World Changer Weekend 2018. This is guest speaker Alan Spiegel.
Well, in my time with you this evening, you better get that clock rolling or I'll talk forever. I want to talk to you about living with eternal purpose, living with eternal purpose. You know, we're created, as we all know, in the image and likeness of God. And because we're created in the image and likeness of God, we are eternal beings with an eternal purpose, you know, here on planet Earth. You know, remember the song John Lennon sang, "Imagine There's No Heaven"? You know, easy if you try, no hell below us, above us only sky. You know, imagining something does not make it a reality. And trust me, when his heart stopped beating, he realized there's a life after this one. So we're not talking about the life after this one, but we want to talk about the life that we live now. You know, the purpose, you know, is really our reason for existence. You know, in Ephesians 1:4, I believe it is, in the Message Bible, it says that long before God laid earth's foundation, he had us in mind. I love the Message Bible there. And it says that he had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. And it says, what great pleasure he took in planning all of this. Now, before I really get into the real heart of where we're going to go with this, I just want to tell you one thing. Your number one purpose on earth today is to be loved by God. That's your number one. I mean, just think about it. Every day we get up and my number one purpose is to experience the love of God. You know, Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. And we know, or in the boundaries of the love of God. And we know that we cannot get outside the boundaries of his love because his love, you know, fills the universe. But what he's really telling us is, keep yourself in an awareness of how much you're loved. And from that great love, from that love then springs everything beneficial, good, holy, right in our life. It all springs from, as we know, the love of God. So a purpose is when you commit to something outside of yourself. You know, we were created to live outside of ourselves. And I put a note in my notes, and I thought this is a real good question. The question is not, what am I here for, but who am I here for? You know, that's the real question. You know, not what am I here for, but who am I here for? What is my purpose? And so, you know, purpose is not, you know, what's in it for me. It's not about me. If I only live for me, I'm telling you, my life is going to be real empty really quick. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, nothing's ever going to satisfy you. Nothing's ever going to be right in your life. And so I'll never have the meaningful life that God wants me to have unless I'm living outside of myself, unless I'm living for my God-intended purpose for me. You know, it took me a long time to realize that, you know. It took me a long time to realize that, you know, if I'm going to really experience life, I've got to live outside of myself. You know, I've got to live for something bigger than me. I've got to live for something that's greater than me. And, you know, and because when we really have purpose, you know, it gives us a good reason to get out of bed every morning. It gives us the strength to face the obstacles and the challenges that we all face in life. Listen to this verse of scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. This is from the Amplified. It says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He also planted eternity in the hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose, working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. So we're eternal beings, but God implanted in all of us, an eternal purpose that only he can satisfy. Only he can satisfy that. You know, and really identify, I was thinking about this. You know, really identifying is not that difficult. I was thinking about this, you know, this afternoon. You know, if you want to know what that purpose is in your life. Let me just ask you a real simple question. What breaks your heart? You know, a lot of things disturb us, but what breaks your heart? You know, what is it that breaks your heart, and you could talk about it, 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 and you could talk about it? Whatever that is that really stirs your heart, you know, concerning people and who they are, and that segment, those people, whoever that is, whatever that is, you know, whoever that is, I'm telling you, that is pulling you. It's like a magnet that pulls you in the direction of God's purpose and plans for your life. I see, you know, Brother Ed Elliott back there. You cannot sit down and talk to Ed without talking about evangelism. I mean, he has been at my house before, and I finally say, you know what, Ed, I'm going to bed. You know, you can sit up and talk to the wall if you want to. I got to go to bed. He's a vampire or something, you know. But he gets talking about reaching the world because that's what breaks his heart. He wants to reach the world with the gospel. So what is it that motivates you? See, again, a lot of things disturb us, but what breaks our heart? You know, what is it in society? Who is it in society? Who are those people that really, when you think about it, or what is it that really, really, really stirs your heart to the place that you could talk about it from here out? You know, I was thinking about this, you know. Jim and I were texting back and forth, and I was talking a little bit about what I was going to talk about. You know, one of the things I've discovered about purpose, it's when you have strong purpose, it will rid you of a lot of chaos in your life. A lot of chaos and confusion will be dismissed from your life, and it will begin to fade away if you live for your God-intended purpose. You know, a lot of your emotional battles will begin to go away. Why? Because James said that most of the battles we face in life is because of selfish ambition. Because we're not living outside of ourselves. You know, we're living for me rather than living for someone else. And if we don't live for that purpose, you know, we're going to constantly be fighting battles that we need not fight. Now listen to this scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 14 says, Paul said, this is from the Message. He says, I've learned by now to be quite content with whatever my circumstances. He said, I'm just as happy with little as with much. He says, isn't it amazing? The older you get, you start downsizing. Young people are upsizing, you know. And so our son-in-law, Seth, he was preaching a message a couple years ago, 3 years ago. And man, I tell you, it really just, you know, rung my bell and made me think a lot. He was preaching and he said, you know, how many things in our life do we stress about that are rich people problems? I'm like, what? He said, you know, poor people don't have to worry about and get stressed over the internet went out. You know, that my Wi-Fi is not working. Netflix won't come on. You know, I mean, how many, really, you think about that. But Paul said, whatever I've learned, and so there's something that he learned. He said, I've learned, you know, and how to be quite content. I'm just as happy with a little as with much. I have found the recipe for being happy. Whether full or hungry, hands full or empty, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. So Paul had a recipe for being happy. You know, and two things, you know, it's not really the heart of what I'm saying here, but two things, you know, actually three things, but the first two I'm just going to just mention. You know, one part of the recipe for him being happy was he was totally convinced he was loved by God. And that's what I said earlier in Jude. Keep yourself with an awareness of the love of God. Always keep yourself aware that I'm loved by God. Another part of that recipe was, you know, he knew the power of positive thoughts. He knew how to think. He talks about, you know, think on these things. Thought things are just, lovely, good report. Think on these things. But, you know, the main part I want to talk to you about for my time with you tonight is he knew how to live with eternal purpose. You know, living with an eternal purpose will get you through the tough spots. Now, think about some of Paul's hardships. You can read this in 2 Corinthians 11. I'm just going to read them, you know, some of the hardships he went through. It records in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, 5 times I was given 39 stripes by the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. One time I was stoned and left for dead. Three shipwrecks. One time I floated day and night, you know, in the sea. I've been hungry. I've had to fight off robbers, betrayed by my closest friends, sentenced to hard labor, almost froze to death. Plus, I've got the care of all of the churches. And, you know, and I look at that and I think, man, but how did he approach that? Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, for my light afflictions are just for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, temporary. He said, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. So Paul looks at all that he's going through, and he said, in comparison to my eternal purpose, in comparison to eternity, it's a light affliction. It's just a bump in the road. I think the Message Bible says it's small potatoes. It's just something I'm going through. You know, so Paul says, compared to eternity, he said, it's nothing. Compared to eternity, it's nothing. So Paul evaluated everything in his life based on eternity. Based on eternity. I was thinking about this a while back. I was preaching at our son-in-law and daughter started church in Madison, and I was preaching for him a couple of weeks ago, and I had this thought, you know, in church we used to sing, think about eternity. In church we used to sing songs like, when we all get to heaven. And then we go to the doctor and he gives a report, we're going, we cry. Isn't that true? When we all get to heaven, and then we go to the doctor and he says, you're going to heaven really soon, and we get all upset about it. You know, there's two or three things to look at there. But anyway, but Paul talked about how he looked forward to going to heaven, and he lived for not just an eternal purpose for himself in heaven, but he lived for an eternal purpose for other people here on earth. This is what it says in Philippians 1, verse 20, starting with verse 21, Living Bible. He says, "For me to live means opportunities for Christ." He says, dying, well, that's even better. He says, but if living gives me more opportunities to win people to Christ, then I really don't know which is better, to live or die. Sometimes I want to live, other times I want to die. I think every pastor's been through that one. And it says, for I long to go and be with Christ. How much happier for me being here? He said, but the fact is, I can be of more help to you by staying. Yes, I'm still needed down here. So I feel certain I will be staying a little bit longer to help you grow and become happy in your faith. Now, when I look at that, you know, and I really think about this, you know, and what Paul is actually saying to us here, you know, Paul says, you know what, you know, I've been through all this hard stuff. I'm going through hard stuff. You know, all these bad things have happened to me. All this stuff's going on around me. He says, you know, sometimes I really want to go. You know, I was talking to some pastors the other day, and I said, you know, it's discouraged. And I said, you know what? Moses prayed to die. You know, he said, God, if you want to do what's right, kill me. God, just take me out of this place. Everybody goes through those moments. Everybody goes through those times. And Paul says, you know, I feel like I'm at a crossroads. You know, I'm at a crossroads. You know, I want to go to heaven and I want to stay here. I want to go to heaven and I want to stay here. He said, but you know what? I've got an eternal purpose here. I need to stay here. I've got to stay here because I have a purpose here on earth. You know, I think about this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 to 14 in the Message Bible. Paul said, if I acted crazy, he said, I did it for God. He said, if I acted overly serious, I did it for you. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and the last word in everything we do. You know, Christ's love in Paul moved him to an extreme. And the extreme that we're looking at, and I'm talking about, is an extreme of serving others and living outside of himself. You know, I look at the Corrigans who have spent their life pouring their life out in Central America and around the world. You know, I look at that. That is a purpose. I mean, that is something that, you know, a love and a service to others. You know, and I think about this. You know, Christ's love moved him to an extreme. It caused him to do things that nobody could understand why he was doing them. And I'm telling you, when I was called to ministry a while back, I was talking to my brother. He said, you remember when you left the family business back in 1985 and went in ministry? And I said, yeah. And he said, you remember what I told you? I said, well, what? He said, remember I told you the last day you worked, you're crazy? Because one day all this will be you. Dad's retiring. He set it up for you to take everything over. Remember that? I said, yeah. He said, you're not the crazy one. He said, I am. He said, you lived your life doing what you wanted to do. He said, I hadn't. Let me ask you this. Are you living a life tonight that's been imposed on you by someone else? Or are you living the life that God intended for you to live? You know, when you get up every day and thinking about this today, what if we got up every day and did important things? What do you mean important things? Important things are those things outside of yourself. And what happens when you do important things is you start meeting important people that will help you fulfill the call and the giftedness that you have on your life. And so what if we got up every day and we decided, you know what? I'm going to live for my God-intended purpose. I'm going to live for what I was created for. You know, Janice and I were talking about this before we came over, that once you have lived for a purpose, it's hard to go back to a normal life. It's hard to go back to a normal life when you've lived for purpose. In other words, you've lived outside of yourself. That you said, I'm going to lay my life down for other people. I'm going to do something with my life to help other people. It's hard to go back to that normal life. But see, once you identify what that purpose is and who those people are, you know, there's sacrifice involved. Now, I know that's a word that, you know, a lot of the grace people don't like to hear, but, you know, there's sacrifice involved. I like the definition I came up with a long time ago, you know, just different pieces here and there for the word sacrifice. Giving up something you value for something you value more. When you realize your purpose, there is sacrifice. You give up something you value. Paul said, my life does no longer belong to me. You give up something you value for something you value more. And that's other people. The best way for me to understand that is like this. When we were raising our children, how many of you know what I'm talking about when I say this? When we were raising our children, there were times when we needed shoes, and they needed shoes. Who got the shoes? They did, and you know what? There was no begrudging it. You gave up something you valued for something you value more. And when you give up something you value, your personal time, your money, or whatever it is, when you give up something you value for something you value more, people, you know, there's no begrudging it. There's no second guessing it. There's nothing about it that causes you to pull back, because there's nothing more satisfying, gratifying than living with that eternal purpose when you're reaching out to the people around you with the amazing love of God. You know, we were talking back there a few minutes ago. We said, and I look around here, I think, how many... Martha, a lot of y'all were here. How many lives have been transformed and changed right here? No way to count it. No way to count it. You know, Jim and Brenda, and I'm not saying this because they're in here, but I'm telling you, they have given their life for a purpose. And I want to challenge all of us. I'm not saying you, all of us. that we live every day with that purpose. That we live beyond ourselves, sacrificing as needed. You know, as Christians, we need to answer this question. Do I want to make a point, or do I want to make a difference? Christians are good at making points, but it's time we made a difference. And the only way we can make a difference is living for our purpose, living for our God-intended purpose. That's what the Message Bible calls in Matthew chapter 11, the end of the chapter, the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, God will never call you, ask you to do anything that he won't empower you to do. And, you know, we all can come up with excuses. You know, you find what you look for. And we can all come up with an excuse of why we can't do what's in our heart. But there's one reason you can do it. The grace of God is upon your life. And you are the answer to someone's prayer. God has an eternal purpose for you. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again as I wind this up here. God has an eternal purpose for you and for me, for all of us. And I can't even communicate how important it is that we individually live in our sweet spot. Live in that spot of being true to who we are, not what everybody thinks we should be, not what everybody wants us to be. You know, I'm telling you, be who you are. Back in 2013, we'd pastored in Florida for almost 21 years. When we left here in 93, we went to Florida, and we pastored there for almost 21 years. And for the last couple of years that I was there, we were there, I just felt discontent, just unsettled. Like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I mean, we had property paid for, we had this stuff, people were getting saved every week. And so I remember my parents had been sick, and I'd been back and forth to Alabama so many times. We lived just outside of Orlando. I don't even know how many times we flew back or I came back. And I remember we got back from a trip, and from being up here with my parents, and Lori, our youngest, she said, "Well, you glad to be home?" And Janice said, "Well, you know, if I had what I wanted, I'd still be in Alabama." I thought, "What you talking about? You know, we never intended to go back to Alabama." But as soon as she said that, in my heart, I knew we were supposed to go back. We got to go back to Alabama. But here's a problem. Both of our daughters and their husband work with us full time, and I had planned. No, I said I had planned to turn our church over to our oldest daughter and her husband. And so I didn't say anything to Janice when she said that day. Other than I thought, what in the heck? Go back to Alabama. But what about, we got property paid for it. When I first started telling some of my preacher friends we was moving back to Alabama, one of them said, "Why don't you go buy a Corvette or something? You got to be, Alan." I mean, he called me 3 or 4 times. "You got to be going through midlife or something." He said, "People worked their whole life to get to where you are, and you're going to walk away?" And so a couple weeks go by after, you know, Janice said that, and I thought, So I asked her, "Janice, you think we're supposed to go back to Alabama?" She said, "Yep." I said, how long you felt that way?" She said, "About 2 years." I thought, Well, my first thought is, What about the grandkids? Not the kids. What about the grandkids? I said, what about the kids? What about, I said, they want to go too. So we had a family meeting, and so I asked Rod and Jill, that's our oldest daughter and her husband, I said, do you see yourselves pastor? This will settle it for me. Now, they had been talking for 2 years about moving back to Alabama. But they said, we're not going to talk to Dad about it. If God's in it, he'll know it, and we're not going to pressure him. We're not unhappy here. You know, we like it here. You know, and so, but if God's in it, Dad will come around, and he'll know. So we had a family meeting. I said, Rod, Jill, do you feel like you could pastor the church for 5 to 10 years? Or you feel like that's what God wants you to do? And they said, no, not really. But Rod said, I'll do it for you. I said, well, that's not a reason. I said, well, that settles it. We're going to Alabama. Well, actually, you know, going back to before we had the conversation with the kids, I said, well, what are the kids going to do if they go back to Alabama? They said, they want to start a church. I said, I ain't starting no church. You know, I've pastored for 31 years. I'm done. If I'm going to pastor, I'll stay here. My property's paid for. I've been through that. And so that, again, before the family meeting, I said to Janice, I said, well, where do they want to start it at? I said, I think if they're going to start a church, they'll do it in Madison. She said, well, that's what they're talking about, doing it in Madison. So anyway, so then the process of from in July 2013, we announced it to our church. And September 2013, we moved to Alabama. And I said all that to say this. You can't make your heart feel something it doesn't. And you got to be true to your heart. And you follow your heart no matter how much sense it doesn't make to the people around you. Like I said, I had one preacher friend, he called me 3 or 4 times, you going through a midlife crisis or something? I mean, buy a Corvette, a pony or something, you know? But what are you thinking? Jimmy Bratcher, years ago, when I first met Jimmy, I remember him telling a story, a lot of you may have heard him say it. I said, Lord, ask him a question when he was an associate pastor. I said, can you do this the rest of your life? Yeah, but can you do it and be happy? In other words, could he remain associate pastor and be happy? And he said, no. Let me ask you something. Are you happy? Paul said part of the recipe of being happy is to live for your eternal purpose. What breaks your heart? What keeps you awake? What motivation? What could you talk about from now on? What do you drive people crazy with? Whatever that is, I guarantee it's linked to people. God's eternal purpose for us is always linked to people. Aren't you glad that Jesus went through and followed his purpose? Let's bow our heads together, would you? Holy Spirit, thank you. As the scripture says, you have implanted inside of all of us a divine purpose. So Lord, we open our heart, we repent, we change our minds. And Father, we want to follow you even when it doesn't make sense. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Alan. You guys appreciate that? Good deal.